Hey, everybody, this is Stelly Efty.
And this is Heaton Shaw. And today on the Startup Chat, we're going to talk about how to manage customer and I'll add user objections.
I think we like talking about more than just sales and marketing.
We just want to bullshit and chat about business and life. And hopefully, while we're doing that, provide a lot of value to people.
The world's best business podcast.
Oh, shit. We got it.
For people trying to get shit done.
Yeah. We don't want to give you feedback that's bullshit.
Yeah, we want you to do your best.
So, Stelly, this is not just about sales. This is just about, in general, how to deal with customers when they have objections about using your product, buying it, et cetera, correct?
Correct. Absolutely. So, okay. And there's a fine line, right? So, let's start with saying that. If you get out there in the market and you try to convince other humans to use your product or buy your product, there is going to be resistance, right? And there's differences of resistance. There's some pushback that you're going to get, especially in the very early days, that might have to do with you building the wrong thing or there not being a need for what you've built, right? So that's when you do customer development, the really early days, to try to figure out product market fit, to try to figure out, are we creating something that people truly want? Are we solving the problem in a way that the customer really likes? Like, you know, is what we're thinking of creating worth creating, right? That's And people will tell you what they don't like about your idea or what they what might suck about it. And you need to kind of filter it through that lens. Is it personal preference or is that telling me something greater about my customer base or my market in general? Then, you know, once you move on from that and you've actually built something that enough people like and you get traction, you realize, yes, we have something that really solves the problem in a way that's predictable and that's measurable and we're onto something here. Things are growing. You still are going to have to face user and customer objection and pushback, right? Not everybody you talk to that should buy your product or should use your product will want to use it or will not have at least a, if not multiple reasons why they think they can't use it, right? And that's a part that a lot of times companies, I feel like they're not thinking through. So what's happening is as they are entering the market more and more with their marketing, with their selling, and they're encountering certain objections again and again and again, they don't really know what to do about it, how to think about it, and how to manage these, and how to even categorize these. And let me just throw out one because I think we're going to have fun with them, but we can go through multiple ones, right? There's certain objections you're going to get again and again and again. Things like, you know, this is too expensive, or I don't have time right now to use time management software to manage my time, or I don't have time right now to switch from my current, you know, analytics tool to a different tool. So I don't have time. I don't have the money. You know, why shouldn't we use your competitor? Why are you better than a competitor? There are certain objections that everybody in the market faces. And how you think about them and how you manage them and how you prepare your company, your team, your business to deal with them, I think can make a big difference in the success you see with it or not. Let's just pick one of them, which is the "this is too expensive" objection, right? That's one of my favorite ones. Let me ask you, Heaton, if a founder comes to you and they've seen some traction, they have paying customers. It seems like, you know, it's not so early that they don't know at all what they're doing. So they have some traction, they have a few hundred customers, things are going well, but they come to you and they tell you, you know what, a lot of customers, now that we're doing more kind of more aggressive outreach, that we do more marketing, more selling, we hear that our product is too expensive a lot, or that the customer doesn't have the money. What's your typical reaction or thought of inquiry to figure out how to help the startup with dealing with that objection?
Yeah, you know, I gotta say, objections are a gift. I mean, objections are what help you figure out what's actually wrong and what needs to be made better. So when I hear a founder tell me something like that and say, oh, I have these objections, we've hit some scale, it's a good problem to have. At least you're hearing it. Usually you have to go spend so much effort to go hear an objection because no one's going to tell you anything. So if you're actually hearing it, there's actually a lot more pull towards, you know, the customers wanting, like digging in enough where they're actually willing to tell you what the objection is. So to me, it's like when I hear that they're actually hearing the objections, either they've got processes in place to hear them, or more often than not, there's something there to their solution. And these objections just help them learn how to frame it. So it helps you reframe it. It helps you build a new feature. It helps you think through, how do I get this customer? So to me, handling objections is one thing. And I know in sales, you're handling objections. So you're like sitting there saying, well, I don't want to buy. Well, it's like, well, why don't you want to buy, you know, and try to dig into like that objection is really important regardless. And then you're trying to solve for it because you're trying to get a sale and there's a tangible endpoint. When it comes to like other types of objections, to me, like those are all just learnings as to like, how should you improve? Basically, to me, it just helps you point to like, how do I need to improve, what I need to do? So when I first hear an objection, I actually don't try to solve it right away. I try to go dig into what it actually is. What are they objecting to? Can I get to the root cause of it or the root answer? Because then I can go figure out how to solve it.
I love it. I love that the analytical mind frame, because here's one of the most important things. One of the things that I've noticed is most consistent when it comes to how people deal with objections is they emotionally react to them.
Oh, yeah. I knew you were going to say that.
Right? They emotionally react to them. And because of the frequency of some objections you'll hear very rarely. A customer will bring up something that will prevent them from buying that you've never heard before. And you're like, oh, wow, this is baffling me. Never heard this before. This is interesting. But there's plenty of objections. Every company will have like a top 10 list at any given time that you hear every day. Right? You hear again and again and again. And what typically happens is that people either get annoyed, they're like, like the emotional reaction is like, not another one. It's like your response to a potential customer is like, I'm annoyed with you right now. I'm annoyed that you just said that, which is horrible, obviously. But then the other end of the spectrum is discouragement. People just go, oh my God, this is never going to work. Or, oh my God, another customer that's not going to buy because we suck, because our pricing is too high, because this is not good, because we don't have that feature. And if you have an emotional response, except with the exception that if it's excitement and curiosity, those are emotional responses that I can like that I'm all for. But if you have a negative emotional response as your first reaction to an objection, you've already lost. You have already lost. You cannot learn. You cannot listen. And you cannot influence from that state other than influence in a negative way. So I love, you know, and this is not surprising that you're saying, and I love that quote, that's definitely going to be the money quote of the episode, which is objections are a gift, right? They are a gift. To me, there's two gifts on two sides. One side of the gift is they're a gift to the business, which is what you covered, Hedon, with there's things to learn here. Beautiful. The customer is honest, or the prospect is honest. They've given you a data point. Now's the time to learn more, to get insights, to collect more data. Once we have enough data, we might be able to take that and make decisions. That's a gift for our business. The flip side of the coin, I'll cover the other side of the gift, which is the personal gift to you, to the person that's hearing the objection. The gift to you is that here's a chance for you. If the person had zero objections, there would be no reason for your existence. Like the reason for you as a founder, as a salesperson, or as a business development person or a PR person, whatever your role is, when you talk to prospects and you're trying to tell them the good story of your product or convince them to buy your product, and they have an objection, something, a roadblock, something they think stops them from utilizing your product to get the value out of it, that is a gift. That is your purpose, your reason for existence. You are there to help them overcome that mental block or that real block. You're there to help them figure out, is that really a showstopper? Is that objection real and something that's a good reason not to purchase the product? And if it is so, you're going to help them to get to the decision more decisively? Or are they lacking some information to know that that's not really a problem and they can unlock the value of your product? But them telling you that they cannot buy while looking you in the eye or while talking to you directly is a gift. It's your chance to create value in the world by giving them information, data, helping them think through things in a way that will allow them now to tap into the value of the product where without you, they wouldn't, right? And if you don't have that mindset that this is actually a gift, if you have the mindset that this is actually a gift, it makes all the difference in the world.
Yeah, I mean, you got to get past that emotion somehow, right? And when you hear an objection, you just want to usually just solve it. You're like, oh, let me just address it. That doesn't usually work, even in sales, right? If you hear an objection, you address it right away, usually you fall flat on your face because you're just responding to and reacting to something that like you don't need to. you need to be more practical about it. Like if I hear an objection once, whether it's in sales or any other way, I'm actually a lot softer about it in terms of like my emotion. Cause I'm like, ah, I only heard it once. Like it might not matter, but let me dig into it. Then once I hear it like two or three times, I'm like, oh crap. Like maybe I have to do something about this. That's actually when I get emotional. I don't get emotional to react to the customer or the user. I get emotional to go solve the problem. So I don't ever have to hear the objection again. And that's what people forget. It's like you hear objections. You don't just solve it for that one person. You actually need to solve it so you never hear it again in your language, in your pitch, in your product, whatever it may be that you're hearing an objection about. And I think that's what people forget.
And I think one thing that's really important to highlight, Heaton, is that you want to solve the real problem, right? And that's why you're saying, I'm going to ask more questions to truly understand it. Because some people would think, well, I heard five people say, well, the pricing is a little too high. I would like it cheaper. And they think the problem is the pricing is too high. So let's just make it cheaper. If you follow that path in certain markets, you're going to have a free product and eventually you're going to have to pay people to use your product, right? Because even free is not going to be cheap enough. You need to, and not to say that you might not have to lower your prices. Maybe your prices are too high. But you want to understand why they're saying the price is high, what the alternatives are and those prices, and truly understand what's the value you're creating and how is the customer thinking about this, what are the budget constraints, what's the buying process. You need to know what is the real issue when somebody tells me the